Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Could you imagine that your neighbors in your community are evaluating you on a five-star basis and deciding like you're a good neighbor or a bad neighbor, or maybe people that you knew, maybe past relationships, maybe, and then it was made public knowledge to the whole world? Well, there's a business out. It's the new Yelp. Yelp is where they actually evaluate businesses and how service is done. Now they actually have a Yelp for people, if you would, and it's called the People app. As a matter of fact, take a look now.
Hi there. We are People. We believe that your character can be a new form of social currency. People is an app that allows you to recommend people in the three ways you know them: professionally, personally, or romantically. You can look people up to find out who they really are. You might want to look up that new guy you just met online, or that girl who wants to be your roommate. And what about the person you are thinking about hiring? Doctors, teachers, babysitters, dog walkers, cleaners, subcontractors, landlords, tenants, bosses, employees, neighbors. You have full control over the recommendations you publish on your profile, so it's completely safe. Take all the amazing recommendations you receive and share them on social media to get better jobs or more clients. You can also share your profile or the profile of others with anyone. Our Nearby feature helps you find all the interesting people nearby that you want to meet. Awesome for when you are traveling, at a bar, or out networking. Find someone that piques your interest? Send them a message through your inbox. Join us on People today. www.forthepeople.com.
So you think about this. I mean, this is a character evaluation where somebody decides on your character, how well you are professionally, relationally, romantically, and they put this out there and they say, I'll give them a five, I'll give them a four. This thing has stirred up. Now, it's Julia Cordell, I believe her name is, and her friend developed this in Canada. Over $7 million of venture capital money came in to be able to do it. But the whole world is stirred up over this particular thing. Let's take a look.
A new app called People.
That's P-E-E-P-L-E.
This is the stupidest app I've ever heard of in my life. I don't need to rate my friends. If I like you, we're friends.
It's not yet available, but already a trending topic.
Every major media outlet is calling me and fighting for my time.
Co-founder Julia Cordray's plan with the app was to allow you to give a 1 to 5 star rating to everyone you know and assign reviews. She had called it the Yelp for People.
You heard it's called. Allows users to give 1 to 5 stars to anybody they know.
The People app developers told Washington Post that this app is about uplifting people.
Co-founders of this app are trying to say it's all about being positive.
People, what do you think?
But we would all give 10 stars to Mr. Freeman.
We would all give you 10 stars.
Headline after headline set off a scorching assault on the app.
What do you think of this app, People?
It promotes gossip, mean talk. It really promotes tearing others down so that you feel better about yourself.
In an interview from Canada via Skype, Cordray claims the intent was never to hurt anyone, but create a safe place to manage your online reputation.
Anybody that we showed it to understood the full concept in its entirety.
In one of her first interviews since the worldwide backlash, Cordray admits calling the app Yelp for People was ill-conceived.
And what changes, Julia, have you made to the app, because it sounds like you've really revamped it.
No one can add you to our platform. You actually have to join our app to be a user of our app.
Along with the opt-out feature, there's no more 5-star rating system either.
There are no postings without your permission. So all the recommendations that people are going to write about you, you have full control over what goes live on your profile.
And how will you deal with people who are perhaps using it for bullying or trying to inflict harm?
And if somebody is inappropriate with you, you can block them so that they can never, ever contact you again. So you can't actually use it for bullying, and you never could.
So what's the point of what some say is a watered down version of the app?
We wanted to give you a chance to grow as a person and make those relationships stronger.
Cordray says the app allows you to screen a potential date or babysitter, and you can socially share recommendations on your profile to help network or land a job.
I've been bullied on every single platform, and there's fake accounts about me on all those platforms. So really, current social media is not a good enough place to manage your online reputation, and I'm the perfect case study for that.
She plans to have people ready by January. Sally McDonald, Fox 26 News.
Look, it's all over the place. Obviously not the entire world, but people that are aware of this, they say Twitter is another particular social media site that was just going awry about this whole thing, and people are concerned about people publicly making their opinions known about them. But you think about that. Hasn't that been taking place with businesses? Hasn't that been taking place with products? You know, when you go to Amazon.com, you have all these reviews. I give that product a two stars. I give this particular product 3 stars. Or they go to a restaurant and they said their food was cold and they write an evaluation on it. It's sort of like the tables are being turned on the individual. And the Lord tells us very specifically as Christians, we shouldn't bother us at all, because we know that we're going to be judged as an individual, but as a believer, we entrust the judgment that we would make or is being made towards us to God. God is the one that does that. This is going to be the best day that's ever happened to the church, because we're going to realize people have always done that. And when you start getting this feeling inside of you like people's going to judge you, it's really not about people. We're going to talk about this a little bit later in the program. God's Spirit comes and convicts us and lets us know about judgment. And Jesus Christ is the one that took that for us. Judgment is real, but this kind of stuff that we're going to be talking about today just kind of brings that issue up, how all mankind, everywhere, somebody is being concerned about being judged or being criticized. As a matter of fact, we're going to even go to Dr. Phil after this break, because Dr. Phil calls the founder of this People's app on his program and begins to talk to her about, you know, what are you doing? Don't you understand that bullies, if you start allowing an app like this to be able to evaluate other kids in school or other coworkers or past relationships, he's going to talk about that. But the interesting thing is, when she came on the program, the founder of this particular app, she says, I want to be in total control of the content of what you talk about here on the Dr. Phil Show. And he starts talking to her about that. The reality is, nobody wants to be judged. But we all will be one day as we stand before the judgment seat of Christ. But this whole thing is surfacing something pretty interesting.
When you see this all the time. Yeah. I mean, you see people evaluate businesses, products. I mean, I've read some evaluations of people's comments about a particular, I'm thinking, that's not going to be good. You know, yeah. if you keep judging people and products and companies like that, it'll come back. And it looks like the escalation of Perry Mason's original show in black and white is coming to pass, where people love to watch those kind of things go down and these court television, you know.
Yeah, that's the trend. That's the trend today. That's on television, on TV, on the internet. Everything's about rating, judging.
Well, the thing about it is,
giving an opinion.
A lot of folks are doing it, but they're surprised that somebody might do it.
Oh, to them.
Well, think about this. So this lady and her friend,
Juliet Cordra.
Yeah, she developed this particular application. So there is an app for that, and you can evaluate an employer. You can evaluate anybody. And originally, when they first began to launch it, it's launched now in January of this year, but in October last year, they could just say anything they wanted to, create any kind of profile, and you don't even know about it, and they're building this whole thing on you, which is out there.
Unfiltered, unchecked, whatever.
Right, right. And so so she comes on to this Dr. Phil show, which in itself is kind of like the same thing. And she says, well, I want to have complete control of the program, though, what goes in and what goes out. I'm like, think about it. So Dr. Phil's confronting her on this, but he's breaking it down, asking her specific questions, because obviously people bully businesses all the time. People bully companies and
products,
government, leaders,
professors. They have a website called the Rate Your Professor, and all these things.
And so all that stuff, now that everybody had a fun time rating other people, it's now there's developing technology where they're going to make it public, because they do that anyway, to be able to rate the individual. But listen to
Juliet Cordra.
Yeah, Julia, she's talking to Dr. Phil, and he's asking her about this thing, and it just reveals the reality. Even the one that invented the product is realizing that she doesn't really want that to happen in her own life. Take a look.
So what do you want to clear up? What is it that people misunderstand about this?
Sure. So with the feedback, we've made some really great movements towards, you know, more positivity for our app. So, you know, you are not anonymous on our app. You cannot have your profile started by anybody else. You have 100% opt-in ability. And, you know, we really want to make sure that you have full control over what goes live on our app.
Well, these are all changes, though, right?
They are, yeah. And we're really excited about those changes.
When you designed this to begin with, you guys had to know that this was subject to being seriously abused.
Well, sincerely, you know, when we set out to build this product, you know, we came at it from two empathetic female entrepreneurs who wanted to really honor people in this system. And what we realized was, you know, when we raised all the money and we got everybody excited about it, there wasn't a lot of pushback on those features. And so it was almost a shock and a surprise when we brought out the initial concept, the feedback. But we're really grateful for the feedback because now we get to build a world-class product.
Seriously, you went to your VCs to raise money.
Absolutely.
And nobody around the conference table said, wait a minute.
So each meeting, yeah.
What about cyberbullying?
That was never anybody's concern. So you have to imagine how surprised all of us were. We never would intend harm with a product or an app. That's just not who we are. I didn't really anticipate the negative attention.
In this whole process, nobody brought up cyberbullying.
No,
nobody
really.
Brought that some girl could break up with some guy or some guy could break up with some girl and go on the internet and say, oh, here's a place to rate her. What a worthless, no good human being.
We made sure that we had some checks and balances put in the app to where that's unacceptable. So
I go on Jimmy Kimmel all the time and do mean tweets where people do mean tweets about me and say, I'd rather take advice from Dr. Pepper than Dr. Phil. You know, shut up, you hillbilly, bald-headed hillbilly, shut up.
You know what? No, Dr. Phil, you and anyone else never deserves that. That is unacceptable. And those people, unfortunately, are not happy themselves and they're living in a resistant state, you know, and you just have to send them love and empathy.
I was buying all this till I'm hearing this, but now I'm thinking you can't possibly be that naive.
Right.
You want people to go on the internet and write anything they want, but when you came here and you wanted to edit the show, review the show, and control all the questions I was going to ask you, are you kidding me?
Well, you have to understand, Dr. Phil, after the amount of bullying that we have received and the media misrepresenting us, we had to be really careful on who we choose to tell our story to.
But you were going to put up an app where anybody could say anything.
That's not true, Dr. Phil. No, we do have terms and conditions that had a lot of fail-safes and checks and balances that are above what's currently available.
Let's clear that up, because I think you had some safeguards in there people don't know about.
Absolutely.
Okay, these are the reported elements from the beginning. The initial poster has to be 21.
Yeah, absolutely.
By initial poster, that means this is somebody that if I decide I want to put you on this site.
So you can't do that right now, but.
But you could to begin with.
Initially, you could add a user to our app.
Okay,
that's right.
So this was initially, because I want to show how you guys have evolved.
Yeah, I appreciate
that.
Well,
no, I think that's to your credit.
Absolutely.
I want to show how you've responded to the feedback. The initial poster, me, if I'm putting you up, I have to have a Facebook page.
Yeah, you need to have a Facebook profile, yes.
Okay. Initial poster must have the subject cell phone number.
Yes.
Or at least say they do.
You need to have it, yeah.
Or at least say they do.
Or at least say that is their cell phone number,
And those are all still true, right?
No, this is not the way the app works today.
Okay, so those are no longer true?
So you do need to be 21. You do have to have a Facebook profile. But again, you cannot add anybody to the app.
Okay.
So it's 100% opt-in. You have to sign up for our app if you want to be a part of our app.
All right, so.
No one can add you to the app. So that third bullet down is no longer relevant.
So now it's 100% opt-in. Okay, good. All right, so initial poster and reviewers must use their real name.
Yes.
So if I do write about you, I have to use my real name.
Yeah, you are not anonymous in our app. Okay. And we think that that's really important compared to other similar social media ratings.
Well, it kind of appears that it morphed that quickly in a couple of months.
Yeah.
It can morph again, but, you know, it is what it is. Everybody has the right to be able to do whatever they're going to do. But the legitimacy of identifying you or whoever is not your fingerprint. It's not your DNA. It's your Facebook.
Your Facebook page. Oh.
So if you have a Facebook, if there's a Facebook there, that's a legitimate human being there. I mean, there's somebody there. Wow. You know, and those pictures you're looking at, that profile, that is that person. Then again, it makes me think about a documentary that was done by a man that felt the very same way. He was actually thought he was falling in love with this particular lady on Facebook. Mm. And so he had his brother or somebody document this whole journey as they're talking back and forth, and he's going to go see her and visit her and all this kind of stuff. He's probably in his 20s. Mm-hmm. And her pictures were in her 20s. But when he got there that he found out that it was a little bit older woman. Really? Who was married and living like in Kansas or something. And she was nothing like, it was all a lie. Her name was a lie. Her pictures were a lie. Everything was a lie. But she said she really felt those feelings for this young man.
But that was true.
and so then there came a name for it. They called their documentary Catfish. So she's saying, as long as you have ability to go on Facebook and create any page,
yeah,
you have some sort of identity. Listen, this is going in a direction that's going to just fuel the reality of like how important it is for us as Christians to realize the judgment is real. That God says it's appointed once for the judgment, stand before the judgment seat of Christ. I mean, that's what's so awesome about Jesus.
Yeah.
Is he took the judgment for us. But what we're feeling, what we're sensing, and maybe what you're terrified of, what you're thinking about, it's like maybe a lot of those criticisms and judgments are coming back to you. And we'll talk about that as well. But it makes you want to start living out the great commandment where Jesus says, you know, love your neighbor as yourself, right?
No doubt.
That instead of evaluating them. But think about this. Now imagine the government taking over something like this and the government rating you as a citizen. Imagine the CEO of Google leaving Google and begin to go work with the government. Oh, that happened, didn't it?
Yes, it did.
Who was this?
Eric Schmidt. Eric Schmidt works for the government, I believe, for the defense.
So the defense. And so and we're going to go to a break. But listen, that this is happening already. When you come back, we're going to talk to you about China. They have a program just like this called Sesame Credit, and they're rating their citizens based on how good they are or not. Mm. And it's like, man, this whole thing is kicking in. But don't be worried about it. Just realize that that's why we tell people, yeah, the judgment's for real. I mean, that's the reason why I needed Jesus. And we begin to realize we're not supposed to be critical or judgmental. But when these days come, listen, there's a refuge. So people are concerned about being judged, I guess, evaluated.
Sure.
And now imagine, and you think about it, Court TV, Britain's Got Talent, American Idol, all these different shows. People are like, booing people off the stage, right? They're like, boo, get them off the stage. And it's like, what if the tables were turned? What if the tables were turned? And it's like the tables are turning. And the truth is, you know, God said every man is going to be judged. Mm. This is kind of like getting warmed up for what it's going to be like. The thing about it, when we stand before God, the judgment seat of Christ, our only hope for a 5-star rating is if you made Jesus Christ the Lord of our life. It's nothing you can do. You're not going to get 1 star.
Yeah, and he's the only person, only righteous judge, the only person qualified to judge you.
And so all this stuff makes us more aware of that reality that is appointed once to die. But think about this. So then, a country right now, and by the way, we're going to talk to you after this, that America is making that shift. The Pentagon is making that shift right now with the former CEO of Google, Eric Schmidt. But first, let's go to China where they're doing it. They're rating each other as citizens. You can get loans, get jobs, or not get loans, not get jobs. That's right. Not, as a matter of fact, take a look at this and imagine now your fellow neighbor or your former employee or former, you know, whatever, or present, whoever, determining whether you're actually going to get that loan or not, or get that job or not. It's happening right now. Take a look.
Okay, so one of you recently brought this to our attention, and when we first started looking into it, we couldn't believe it. Even now, looking at this, I keep thinking that there's gotta be something about this that I just don't understand. Like, I must be reading this wrong. It's just so clearly something out of dystopian science fiction, and yet, here it is in our world, and people are actually embracing it. Apparently, China has gamified being an obedient citizen. Going under the innocuous name of Sesame Credit, China has created a score for how good a citizen you are. And that's one of the scariest things I've heard in quite a while. It's jointly run by Tencent. Yes, that Tencent, the one that owns Riot Games and has a significant share in Epic and Activision Blizzard, and also the ascendant Chinese competitor to Amazon, Alibaba, hence the name Sesame. So the owners of China's largest social networks have partnered with the government to create something akin to the US credit score. But instead of measuring how regularly you pay your bills, it measures how obediently you follow the party line. They dredge data from your social network, so if you post pictures of Tiananmen Square or share a link about the recent stock market collapse, your Sesame credit score goes down. Share a link from the state-sponsored news agency about how good the economy's doing, and your score goes up. But Alibaba and Tencent are also the largest online retailers in China, so Sesame Credit is also able to pull data from your purchases. If you're making purchases the state deems valuable, like work shoes or local agricultural products, your score goes up. If you import anime from Japan, though, down the score goes. And this score has real-world consequences. Like many games, Sesame Credit has tiers and levels, and having a high score gives you special benefits, like making it easier to get the paperwork you need to travel, or making it easier to get a loan. Now, currently, there are no consequences for having a low score, but there's been talk about implementing penalties once the system becomes mandatory in 2020. Penalties like slower internet speeds for low-scoring citizens, or even restricting the jobs that a low-scoring person's allowed to hold. But there's one more layer to Sesame Credit, and here's where this goes from being repulsive to downright insidious. Because this is all part of a social network, it also scans your friends. So you will lose points for having friends with low obedience scores. And it tells you this. At any point, anybody can check anyone else's score. And when you check your own score, Sesame Credit provides a handy map of your friends to show you who's dragging your score down. Have you ever had that thing where you play a game with somebody who wasn't doing very well, and you've tried to change their behavior to make them do better? Or maybe after a while, you just sort of stopped playing with the people who were holding you back? That's at the heart of how this system works. And it's also what makes this one of the most terrifying tools of authoritarian oppression I've ever read about. Because, like, mass censorship, jail time, assassinations, those are all big, messy implements for keeping a population in line. That messiness and severity foster resentment, eventually rebellion. They're expensive, they're unwieldy. In the end, those tools are impossible to maintain. But social pressure? Ostracization? Those things are free. They happen on their own. And as a government tool, they don't have nearly the same potential for going embarrassingly, disastrously wrong. With a system like this in place, a government doesn't even have to tell neighbor to spy on neighbor, to rat each other out. Because that's all built into a seemingly innocuous game system. The government need not step in. Re-education will be handled for them by friends, classmates, and relatives who want to maintain a high score. And if that doesn't work, then potentially dangerous ideas still end up quarantined by the social isolation this game system causes. Express or help to spread too many radical ideas, and people will stop associating with you. And not because some jackbooted thug showed up at the door with threats, but simply because associating with somebody with those ideas will lose them all the privileges they've worked so hard to obtain. It recontextualizes obedience to an authoritarian regime. In the past, you obeyed such powers because you were afraid. Fear kept you motivated. But fear is negative. It fosters resentment. The world we're stepping into instead uses positive reinforcement to promote being subservient to the will of the regime. It's Big Brother's kinder, gentler hand. And the things that make this scary is that we've seen the efficacy of this only too well in games. You may not actually know this, but when World of Warcraft was in its early stages of development, it had an unrested penalty mechanic that started limiting experience gains for players who had played too much. And players hated it. They resented it and they complained about it every day. So, after brainstorming on this for a while, Blizzard had the idea to simply change how the mechanic was presented. Without changing any of the existing numbers or systems, they started referring to the unrested experience penalty state as normal and made it the default. And they started calling the original normal experience gain state as rested. That's all they changed, and everybody loved it. People would log on every day just to get that bonus. positive reinforcement works wonders. But unlike World of Warcraft, which built a system just to get people to embrace meaningless grinding, Sesame Credit has built a system to get people to enjoy falling into line. Now, the system's not mandatory yet. It's opt-in right now. But it's going to be mandatory in 2020, and there's a terrible brilliance to phasing that in. The early adopters are going to be people excited about this system, people who are already patriotic and are eager for anything that'll help display that patriotism to the world. And as early adopters, they're going to talk it up. They're going to give it an air of being positive and fun. Then it'll be foisted on the society as a whole. More than that, though, the early adopters are going to compete. Already, you can see hundreds of thousands of tweets displaying people's high scores or showing off the new milestones they've hit, giving hard numbers to their patriotism and giving them bragging rights for being the most patriotic, most right-thinking person they know. And that's gonna set the tone for how Sesame Credit is intended to be used, as a competition to see who can agree with the government the most. We've talked about propaganda games on this channel before, but for all the time we've spent examining and deconstructing terrible games that espouse hate, and for all the studies on propaganda games James has done, this is the use of game systems that frightens me the most. Because to most people, Sesame Credit will seem benign, perhaps even fun. It's a conversation starter, something to share with your friends. But it's making heavy use of all the psychological motivators that we game makers deploy in scoring systems and ladders and levels, systems that we build to shape play habits and to keep people coming back. Like I said, I'm still kind of in a state of disbelief looking at this. If any of you are watching this from China, please tell me if I'm misunderstanding this thing, because I would love to be wrong about it. If not, well, I hope this episode can do some small amount to help the fight to keep such a system from becoming mandatory. For everyone in the rest of the world, I hope this helps remind us all how important it is to be aware and to be vigilant. All of these gamification techniques we've learned through making games offer incredible opportunities for making this world a better, more engaging place. But every great tool carries with it the potential for misuse. And it's on us, as a community who understands this amazing new medium, to do what we can to stop.
They were speaking about making this permanent in 2020.
Wow.
But not Ray Kurzweil, but Eric Schmidt with Google, he's already left Google, which is the largest data gathering knowledge about you that says, you know,
in the world.
In the world. It's gone to the government of America.
Yes.
To the Pentagon, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're gonna be talking about that, where they can actually Googleize American government. It's happening before our eyes. And now the government, remember, this was what happened. Christians, Jews, listen. Remember what the enemy always does, he tries to put a number on us and mark us and track us, because for whatever evil reasons that they want to somehow, and we'll talk about our next program, it was the worst year in the history of all creation for Jews and for Christians last year.
Yes.
Because of the persecution taking place. This is like a cranking up a huge notch for those type of things. But we're going to talk more about that. And how do we respond, you know, as followers of Jesus Christ, how do we respond to this? And should we be evaluating folks? Mm. You're looking at the former CEO of Google, Eric Schmidt. You probably can see him right now.
Mm.
And there he is. And also the Secretary of Defense, Ash Carter. They're working together. What's the article say?
Article post just came out from Wired. And
right.
They titled it, Pentagon taps Eric Schmidt to make itself more Google-ish. More Google-ish. Mm.
Google does some pretty amazing things. I mean, it's amazing, but it's like the government, the ability to track everyone, and this collapse possibly on the edge, because when crisis hits, that's when government expands. And these are amazing days.
Well, I remember one reporter was asking and interviewing Eric Schmidt at one time and saying, you know, basically your company knows everything, all the data.
Right.
And so what's to say that information won't be compromised? He says, well, it goes against our business model, so you'll have to trust us, basically.
According to our last business meeting, the founder of People's.
It goes against our business model.
Yeah.
But that's it. That's it.
So this is the big thing. I mean, the world's going to do what the world's going to do, and it's always going to be driven by economy, about money. The mark of the beast is about a beast economy. You're not going to be able to buy or sell without this mark. So it's about economy.
Or trade.
And so that's a normal progression of the fulfillment of prophecy, which was said before any of this stuff ever existed. Mm-hmm. And you're seeing that happen. The question is, how do we respond to it? Well, one is, when you look at a particular app like this, or a business that gives you the ability to publicly criticize someone and evaluate their character, that's a big place to take in someone's life. I mean, you got to have even to talk to the person themselves, you need to have their permission to be able to do that. They need to give you permission, access to their life. Now, we're talking about Christians, and we're talking about how we need to respond to what the Lord tells us to do. We're not telling the world what to do.
Right.
But in regards to, you know, what we have to do, and we're always working on it. But I think about this. I think about what Paul was writing to the Church of Rome. You know, in Romans 2, he talks about this. He goes, because they were trying to get free from using the app to judge each other, right? I guess. No, they didn't have an app back then, just so you know that.
They did?
No, they didn't.
Oh,
no,
okay.
No. And so he says in verse 2, he says, you therefore have no excuse. You who pass judgment on someone else, in other words, you give an evaluation to someone's business, someone's restaurant, and businesses are dying and being destroyed because somebody wanted to vent on that business. That's not a good thing. That's not a good system. And he says, for at whatever point you judge another, you're condemning yourself. Because you who pass judgment on someone else do the very same thing.
Mm-hmm.
We're all human beings. I mean, we're just all. And the thing about it is, what we're seeing now with the paranoia with this thing called Peoples, this app, is everybody who's been judging all these businesses and restaurants and just taking them up, taking them down. I know a particular businessman that had a meeting inside of his hotel in a meeting room, but he told the people in the meeting room that if I get one bad review, he's telling the customer, you can't be here. What happened to the day that the businessman and woman was making those decisions for his company or her company? And it's like, we've got to decide what we're going to do. Despite what people say, we just need to do things right no matter what. And he says, you know, at whatever point you're evaluating other people, and that's what I think the paranoia is, because people are thinking like, that was a business now. I can't, don't be judging me like that, you know? And, and they're talking, right? And it's like, but that business is actually owned
by a person.
By a person.
And people who
has a husband or a wife, and employees work there, and they work to serve you a service or a business, and they eat based on that transaction taking place. And when you hit that business like that, it affects everyone.
Right.
And I guess I say businesses are people too.
Yeah.
But then even Jesus talked about it. You know, he talked about it in Matthew chapter 7. He said, you know, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye?
Mm.
He says, how can you say to your brother, this is brothers now, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? And he's saying very specifically, he says, you can't even help him unless you deal with yourself. And it's about helping, not saying, hey, now I can actually judge someone because I got the plank out of my own eye. It's like, we just can't do that.
Yeah.
And so whatever the world does, and the world's going to do it, the world's always doing it. Now, the church needs to get to a place. And when Jesus said very specifically Paul writing to the Church of Romans, Romans 14 and 10, he says, listen, this reality of what's going on, he says, Christ died and rose again for us for this very purpose, to be Lord both of the living and the dead. So why do you judge one another or condemn one another as believers? Why do you do that?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you look down on one another? Remember, we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And so what happens is, you know, Jesus said, my spirit is going to come, Spirit of God, and he's going to comfort us. He's going to remind us of what God said, but he's also going to convict us of sin.
Yeah.
So the very presence of God talks very specifically to us, knowing that judgment is inevitable. So when we're seeing these things take place, everybody's sensing, no matter what people say about God, that they're going to be judged by God. And the only hope for this is Jesus. Look what Jesus said right here in Mark. You can see it on your screen right here. It's very specific what he said. He says in Mark 12, 29 through 31, he says, the most important commandment of all, he said, hear, O Lord, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Love your neighbor. Love the Lord your God with your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is just like it. which is to love your neighbor as yourself. And he says, all the commandments, think about this, all the commandments hang on us loving each other. Mm. We're not called to judge each other. We're called to love people. And love says you first. Love says, I look over a sin. I look over an issue. Yeah. I do business with you again.
Love covers a multitude of sins, right?
Yeah, you'll learn to keep your mouth quiet and you won't enter in the app. And even if people judge you, you won't respond in kind because you will entrust yourself to God who judges justly in hopes that they would actually come to their senses. This is prayer now. Father God, we just thank you for letting us know what to do at a time like this, God. And I pray for each and every one, Lord God, as they've been hearing about this and thinking about it, that they've been concerned about being judged and being criticized, Lord. And maybe they're even starting to see where, hey, I've been judgmental towards others and be critical towards others, Lord. Lord God, that you would forgive us for that, Lord, and you would help us move into an area where we love people and love you, Lord, with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and begin to love our neighbor, not judge our neighbor. Love our neighbor, understanding that we all will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And I pray for each and every one that doesn't yet know you as the Lord of their life, that they would make that decision now, knowing that the only way we're going to get a 5-star rating in your presence if we accept Jesus' 5-star rating, because he's the only perfect one. You gave your son to pay the price for us so that if we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, you have wiped the slate clean and our judgment that was meant on us is now on your son. Lord, we just pray right now for each and every one that they would accept you as their Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.